Watchtower Report Part 2. All right, this is going to be the first chapter of the book of Micah. I was led to listen to the Orthodox Union, which is conservative Judaism, Orthodox. A lot of these friends came from Brooklyn, New York. The Orthodox Union came out of that whole view. They're very conservative, politically very close. They stick to the Torah, the Word of God, and even in a lot of their teachings, okay, whatever. But Rabbi Nawaz, I went and dropped into a class I felt led to go to because she was teaching on the book of Micah. It was the introductory passage, chapter 1, which I've been in the book of Micah quite a bit, and I will tell you how. But what I'm going to do in this segment is give you a brief of the teachings that she brought out. This is Rabinowitz Pearl Barrow from the Orthodox Union in Jerusalem, Israel, on Karen Hayesod Street. And she has been teaching on the Nevi are the prophets, the Nevi'im, and Micah. There were four prophets, Nevi'im, at the same time. And they were to declare destruction to the nation of Jerusalem, to Israel. And these four prophets were Amos, Isaiah, and Hosea, and Micha. They prophesied all at the same time. Elijah was close to this time period of history, and Jonah was a bit before this time. Jonah is Nineveh, it's Damascus. All right, what goes around comes around. There are patterns of God's working, as it says in Ecclesiastes. There's nothing new under the sun. We see and I want you to see this as a macro overview of the pattern that Nineveh is up in Mosul, the ancient city of Mosul in Iraq, or the Syrian kingdom. Micah speaks to both kingdoms in Israel. It was a divided kingdom. The 10 tribes would be in the north. Shomrom, this is what he calls Shomrom. Okay, so the word of the Lord came to Micah, the Moreshethite, in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, the kings of Judah. These he prophesied under these three kings. And he says to the kings of Judah, okay, which he saw concerning Samaria or Shomrom, these are the 10 tribes, and Yerushalayim, which was the other two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. There was golden calf worship in Bethel and Dan, and it split the kingdom. So the northern, the 10 type kingdoms, the tribe of Dan up in the north, said, oh, you come up here to worship, which was against God. It's a decree. He said, no, you go to Jerusalem. I designate the place that you worship. But they didn't want to mix the tribes. It was just a further indication of their rebellion. Hear all you people, hearken all the earth and all that is in therein, and let the Lord God be a witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. Okay, it says all you people. It's also all you nations. All right, now these are two translations that I'm working off, her translation of the Tanakh and mine of the King James. This separation happened, and I want to talk about these other four prophets. They all use similar language and alliteration, Hebraism, poetic language, where which doesn't translate into English, where they would say a word and then another word, tzedekim. Tzedakah is one of them. All right, the Nevi'im knew of the other prophets and the words that they prophesied. So basically, Micha is just reiterating the words of some of the former prophets, as in Jeremiah. And let's look at Jeremiah was thrown in prison. Because he prophesied this way, he was considered treasonous and out of order and was thrown in prison. He suffered greatly. Why? What was his treason? Because he declared that HaKodesh, the Holy One, is going to destroy Jerusalem. Hear all you people, hearken, O earth, and all that is therein, and let the Lord God be a witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. For behold, the Lord comes forth out of his place. He's going to stand up and witness. It says, when you rise up and you speak, Moresh, from the city of Moresh, we have, he's going to rise up. When he stands up from his throne, this is serious. God himself is saying, I'm going to rise up. When he rose up and went down with the other angelic host to visit Abraham, he said, I've come down because I've heard of the wickedness of the city of Sodom. Gomorrah, I'm coming down to see. God rises up from his throne and he witnesses against him in the courts of heaven from his holy temple. Only this is against the nations. He's going to rise up against the nations and he's going to declare them. And she said this is like Korban. Korban was an offering, a sacrifice that was offered up for destruction. It was a burnt offering. Jesus became a Korban. The lambs became Korban. They were set apart for destruction. So they wanted to kill, in Jeremiah's time, they wanted to kill him. And so he was asking God's help. These are poetic plays on language, so I won't get into them. But let's go down to, he saw visions and words, debar, he says in the Hebrew. It says he saw the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to him. The debar, the word. For behold, the Lord comes forth from his holy place and will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth. This is, as he's prophesying to both, kingdoms, not just to Judah, but also to the 10 tribes, Israel. Let's say Samaria, which he calls Samaria. Samaria is the 10 tribes. All right. Hashem is a witness against them. The idea is he's going to, in a court of judgment, I'm going to witness against you. And he's going to come down and step on the high places of the land. And he will overlook what is happening by rising up. He's going to come and oversee. I'm going to rise up and I'm going to come down and I'm going to look at the high places of the earth. And he's going to walk over the land. She breaks down that this is the example is in the temple. In the first temple, the actual presence of Hashem was there. It was in the Bet Mikdash. That's the first temple, the house of God, and it represented his throne in heaven, the earthly temple. It wasn't it. It represented it. It's a high and elevated place, and as it says in Isaiah, where I saw the Lord high and lifted up in his temple, and the edges of his garment filled the temple. Isaiah was in the temple. In the second temple, the presence of God was not there as in the first. It was a lessening because of the, we're going to find out, because of the lessening of his presence, because he's holy, he cannot stand in the midst of sins and transgressions. Okay, verse 3 says, and he will come down, he comes down upon the high places of the earth in the day of judgment. In the day of judgments, he's coming down. He's going to overview this, and he's going to witness against it. You've transgressed against me. The judge listens, he sees, and comes down. And what it does is it brings fear in on the people. They need to have the fear of God. And it's through his judgments that the nations learn righteousness. Okay, and how does this happen? Verse 4, and the mountains shall be molten under him, and the valleys shall be cleft as wax before the waters, as waters that are poured down a steep place. These are coming down a steep place. To fear of God, the mountains dance and they melt. Because, why? Verse 5, for the transgression of Jacob is all this, and for the sins of the house of Israel. All right. because of the shrines, because of the idolatry. And where? Bethel, which was in Judah, and Dan, which is in Samaria. These two shrines. It's one thing. Transgressions of Jacob is all. Jacob was where, and for the sins of the house of Israel. And she brought out some very interesting ideas about the sons of Jacob are the entire tribes, all the tribes. This refers to all the 12 tribes, the whole kingdom. But then she says, and reiterates, for the 12 tribes and for the sins of the house of Israel. And then it goes on to say, what is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? Okay, the golden calf, idol worship, and Dan. And what are the high places of Judah? Are they not in Jerusalem now? Now, Bethel was also in Jerusalem, but what do you mean? Are they not in Jerusalem? What are these high places? These are idolatrous places of worship. That they broke the first four commandments. Okay, so one king would remove the high places and the next one would put it up. Transgression, okay, there's a differentiation here in the word used. The transgression was missing the mark, hitting the bullseye. The arrow was the word of God, the Torah. The sin, though, sin, transgression is like, oh, I made a mistake. We make mistakes, but for the sins of the house of Israel, and the sins are willful rebellion. Willful rebellion. And here it says the responsibility is placed with the leadership. It's placed with the leaders in the priests and the judges and the elders, the shepherds over God's people. These are the ones. Okay. So he goes on to say, therefore, in verse 6, I will make Samaria as a heap of the field. And as a planting of a vineyard, and I will pour down the stones thereof into the valley, and I will discover the foundations thereof. That means there's not going to be any cities left. It's going to be a field, and it's going to be a vineyard. It's going to be wasted, and the stones are going to be thrown down. If you go out here at the base of the Temple Mount in the old city of Jerusalem, you see where the stones were still thrown down from the Titus when he threw down the stones from the overthrow of Jerusalem in AD 70. You still see the stones lying there as part of the rubble. And he threw them into the valley, and I will discover the foundations thereof, the foundations of the sea. So it's going to be wasted. It's going to be destroyed. It's set up for korban, for destruction. Because the etanon, the wages of sin. Let's look at this. Verse 7 talks about what these wages of sin are.